Hi, Emma Ray Lyerly. Welcome to KABU.
Hi, Bill. Nice to talk to you again.
Emma Lyerly works for the Rainforest Action Network located in San Francisco. She's the media coordinator for forests. The Rainforest Action Network, the RAN, in its words, I quote, preserves forests, protects the climate, and upholds human rights. That by challenging corporate power and systemic injustice through frontline partnerships and strategic campaigns. That challenging corporate power and systematic injustice, those words excited me. The RAN is not one of those NGOs that are supported by major donors or big money. Anyway, this was a banner week for forest fires around the world. The 88,000 fires in the Amazon got the major headlines, but huge forests in Indonesia and Siberia are also now on fire. In Alaska, too, in areas that never burnt before, they were on fire recently. And fire season is just underway in the northern hemisphere. There's a lot more of them to come. Should this forest burning continue, rates of global warming will surely greatly rise, and global heating could go out of the possibility of control, warn many scientists. So, Emma Lyerly, let's discuss that threat that forest burning poses to planetary life.
Yeah, it's been a devastating week for sure. The news, you know, the Amazon has been burning for over 3 weeks now, but really the news hit this past week. And, you know, as you said, Indonesia, you know, the Arctic, yeah, it's really, the whole world is on fire, and it's devastating to watch. You know, wildfires are a natural occurrence. You know, for some forest ecosystems, fire is a really healthy thing and a really needed thing. And you could say that our forest management domestically has really disrupted the fire cycle to the detriment of our forests. But what we know is that in rainforests like the Amazon or the Indonesian rainforests, fire is a very rare thing, if ever. And certainly the way that these uncontrolled fires are burning is very far from natural. You know, these fires are being intentionally lit by people to clear land for more industrial development. There's nothing natural about it. There's nothing healthy for these forest ecosystems about it. It's purely just a devastation for more corporate profit.
Yeah, and well, the Amazon forest in particular is extremely important, as at least what I've read, it's a hypothesis, and tell me if it's right or not, is they store vast amounts of carbon that if burnt and going into the atmosphere, that goes in as carbon dioxide, and you get huge amounts of global warming. Well, the Amazon forest is this storehouse of carbon in the ground, littering it, in the trees, all of it. And secondly, the forests around the world were described as regulators of the climate. Is that the way we should see forests?
Definitely. You know, I think a lot of the talk around climate change has really left out the important role that forests have to play in regulating our global climate. So just as you said, you know, forests, particularly the last three major rainforests on the planet, which are the Amazon, the rainforests on the Indonesian islands, and also in the Congo Basin in Africa. These last three rainforests provide a huge amount of carbon regulation for our planet, for the entire planet. There's been a fact going around, you know, that the Amazon produces 20% of our oxygen. That's in dispute. It's probably not that much. But, you know, what these rainforests do is not only do they produce the local rain that sustains their own living, but they sequester carbon out of the atmosphere and they safely store it underground. You know, that is a carbon sequestration system that we don't have to spend, you know, billions of dollars trying to geoengineer. There's nothing that we need to do to that system to make it just perfectly operational and perfectly functional and regulating our global climate for generations to come if we were to leave it alone. That's sadly not what we're doing. And the thing about rainforests as well is, you know, most rainforests, you know, are old growth, especially the Amazon and the Indonesian rainforest. And that means that they've developed these really thick layers of peat underground, you know, these peatland areas that are just years and years and years and years of the decomposed leaf litter.
Hundreds and thousands of years of these peat bogs. And they're also
unimaginable.
Peat bogs are also in the Arctic and, in fact, in temperate climates, right? This enormous amount of woody matter that's sort of stored in these wet places and never really escapes.
Exactly. It's safely held underground. There's more carbon stored underground in these rainforests than there is than the trees actually, you know, sequester themselves. And so when that peat is lit on fire, you know, there's a reason that communities around the world have used peat to fuel their home fires. It burns very, very well. It burns very long. And so when these peatlands are lit on fire, they burn forever. It will burn underground until the monsoon rains come, and it's terrible.
Yes. Even when the monsoon rains come, that puts them out temporarily, but then they start burning again when it becomes dry, is my understanding. And furthermore, when it's used for agriculture and palm oil in particular, they, in order to deal with the monsoon rains, they dig trenches to get rid of the water, right? And that then exposes the entire peat bog to drying out and continuing to burn. And then, of course, the palm oil gets made into candy. What a fate for our, and a metaphor for how humans are destroying things.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, just to break it down, so the main drivers of deforestation, rainforest deforestation globally, are palm oil, as you said, you know, beef and cattle ranching, soy production largely to feed those cattle, pulp and paper, and then timber as well. And these commodities are being pushed into rainforests in different areas at different rates. So in the Amazon right now, largely we're seeing this expansion being done for cattle, you know, more land to graze cattle on, and then for soy production.
And in soy Indonesia, production, Trump's tariffs are now creating a huge demand for soy from Brazil, apparently. And well, it's not just Brazil, because a lot of these farms are owned internationally, right, by agribusiness. They're just paying vandals to start burning down the forest near them, and so that they can create more soybeans.
Exactly. And then in Indonesia, it's similar, but the commodity is largely palm oil or pulp and paper use. But the cycle for all of these commodities is very much the same. You know, it is corrupt local government and corporations working in tandem to go in and do a land grab. You know, generally they are stealing and displacing the local communities, the indigenous people that have lived on that land for generations. So they steal the land. And then in Indonesia, you're right, they log it for timber, they build canals to drain the water out of the peatlands, and then, you know, they get the land ready to plant these monocrops, just these, you know, these plantations of palm oil trees that literally go for miles and miles and miles. If you stand in the middle of one of these palm oil plantations, it feels endless. And they really do swallow whole villages inside of them. And, you know, that then becomes the only option for work. It totally erases any sort of local livelihood that was there before. You know, it obviously has already killed the forest that the communities have used to subsist on, to grow their own crops, to hunt for their food. And that's true of the Amazon as well. You know, it's really just these, you know, these corporate interests push into these areas. They destroy the forest, they destroy the communities and the ways of life that have been there, and then they try to get the most, you know, the most yield out of this land for the most profit, the quickest. And the sad thing is, I mean, it's all very sad, but, you know, the ultimate devastation is that that means that that land becomes unusable fairly quickly. In Indonesia, if you drain a peatland, it settles, you know, it subsists, and it very quickly goes below sea level. So Indonesia is losing its land mass at an alarming rate. Indonesia is about to move its own capital city of Jakarta because the city of Jakarta is sinking. And it makes this land unusable very quickly, and so then they have to expand into new territories. And that's true of Indonesia, that's true of the Amazon, and it's this, you know, never-ending hunger for a quick profit, fueled, as we're seeing in Amazon in particular, by a government that spouts a very anti-environment, anti-indigenous rhetoric, you know, that basically gave the command to light the fires, to open the Amazon for business, as Bolsonaro said. And we're seeing the effects of that. You know, he made good on that promise. A year later, the Amazon is in flames. And really, it is U.S. companies that are fueling that demand. So, you know, there are the financiers that have pumped money into these industries. There are the global commodity traders. Cargill, is a homegrown American company that is hugely involved in this. And then there are the retail brands that buy up these end products and sort of look the other way in terms of where their supply chain is coming from and where they're, you know, what kind of impacts it's having on the ground.
Yeah, this is Bill Resnick for the Olmo Variety Hour. I'm talking to Emma Ray Lyerly of the Rainforest Action Network, whose sole goal and passion is saving the rainforests. They're also working with other organizations that are trying to save the temperate forests and even the Arctic forests, which is they're all burning. Emma Ray Lyerly, let's first, just comment, when they take over, the villagers, of course, went in areas that are being destroyed. Sometimes, often, they organize. And, of course, the people who are running these operations from, as you pointed out, from Zurich and Wall Street and many other places, they don't like the opposition. And at some point, the local thugs kill a lot of people, like in Brazil, many, many, many indigenous people, as well as non-tribal people who've lived in those areas and who have become environmentalists, small farmers, fight back.
Exactly. Local and indigenous communities are some of the best defenders for these forests. They've defended these forests for generations. The last IPCC report, you know, really confirmed what indigenous people have known for years, which is that, you know, most of the world's biodiversity survives on lands held by indigenous people. Strong, organized local communities and indigenous communities are the best defense against corporate expansion onto their land. And they defend their land and they defend the world's forests, sometimes at the cost of their lives. And we're seeing that dramatically increase as more violence and, you know, more pressure is being rained down on these communities to get them to yield. And, you know, there is, sadly, many cases of violent assassination of forest defenders and tribal leaders, you know, in the Amazon, in Indonesia, really all across the world.
Again, Bill Resnick for the Old Mole talking to Anna May Lyerly of Rainforest Action Network that is, in fact, supporting all of those frontline people. Let's talk about your efforts towards forcing companies to stop using the products of land theft and murder all over the world. These companies know where they're getting their supplies from. There's pressure on them to find other sources of whatever they have to use. How much success are you having with those various industries, like the candy industry?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to say how much success we're having. Obviously, corporations, you know, don't want to give up business as usual without a fight, and we're seeing that effect in the Amazon. I think that it's easy as consumers in the West, and it, you know, I hate to just lump us all into consumers, but that is largely what we do, is consume these products. And it's really attractive to say, okay, you know, I won't buy palm oil anymore. I'll read every label of everything I buy and I won't buy palm oil. You know, and maybe it is ultimately a great thing to try to eat less meat or, you know, not use leather. The individual lifestyle changes are important and they're great, I think, on a personal or community level. But ultimately what we see is that it's not necessarily these commodities that is the problem, but it is the way that they are produced. So if we were to pressure these companies to move away from palm oil and they just moved into canola, let's say, and they produced canola in the exact same way that they are producing palm oil right now, it would have the exact same disastrous effects. So what RAN is calling for and what other organizations call for as well is really a shifting of the entire industry. It is a moving of the entire business model. And it is really putting the responsibility back onto these major retailers who are the largest consumers in the world. You know, they are the ones that have multi-million dollar, billion dollar contracts. They have the actual buying power to shift these industries, to apply their leverage against the entire supply chain and change how business is done. And so that is what we campaign for, largely on the candy makers, as you said, or snack food companies. Cargill is sort of a homegrown name, and also the financiers. You know, BlackRock is the largest holding company in the world, JP Morgan Chase, one of the biggest banks in the world. And these are the companies that are really fueling these businesses and this expansion into the Amazon and into the rainforests of Indonesia. They have the buying power to change it. And so that's where our campaigning goes.
Yeah, I wonder how successful that will be unless a political revolution, maybe not an economic revolution, but a political revolution would happen in sort of Bernie Sanders' term. Unless the states around the world, the important ones, put huge amount of pressure on these predatory and murderous apparatuses, not much is going to change. Anna Mae Ray Lyerly.
My name's Emma Ray.
Emma Ray, not Anna Ray. Sorry. Emma Ray Lyerly, you have the last word after my little sermonette.
Yeah, I think my last word would just be, you know, the situation is dire. And, you know, people often ask me, you know, or say that I must have a lot of hope to do the work that I do. And I, you know, have some hope, but mostly I have a lot of anger. And I think that it is time, maybe as you alluded to, that everyone gets really angry and demands systems to change, because it is truly unlivable for everybody on our planet for business as usual to continue. I'd really encourage your listeners to get involved. There's going to be an Amazon Day of Action on September 5th. Folks can learn more about that and get connected to groups maybe in their area that are taking part in that. And yeah, check out Rainforest Action Network. Check out Amazon Watch. They're doing amazing work in the Amazon. And get involved, you know, in your own local communities and internationally as well.
Emma Ray Lyerly, thanks so much for talking to us. And the climate strike is also coming up. It could really be a busy and wonderful month for climate struggle. Thanks a lot for talking to us.
It's been great. Thanks, Bill.
So long.
Bye.